You're in the zone, coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre on the Buzz Radio Network. Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
The momentum's just a big part of that game right there. And you know, they once they got that pick six and you know a couple big plays, they were able to keep the momentum on their side. And we weren't able to get it back, and that was a big part of the game.
Welcome back to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Justin Akre, Phil Olsen, joined in mere moments by Matt Harris.
Hello.
We'll get defensive in just a moment. A couple of numbers of note. Arkansas threw it a bunch. Didn't run it quite as much. Arkansas with 17 first downs. 17 first downs for Florida. That was an impressive number. That was the only one of the very few things were even, along with the rushing yards. But Arkansas outgained through the air. The bigger issue, though, of course, is the number of points scored. So Arkansas not dominated necessarily in overall yardage, 355 to 275, but unable to run the ball effectively and did not commit to it in the second half, and Arkansas loses the game 30-10, your final. Brandon Allen did not have an especially accurate day, got smacked around quite a bit and didn't get much help from his receivers, at least not the guys on the outside. 17 of 41, 164. Meanwhile, Tyler Murphy, 16 of 22. Pretty efficient day. Yeah. 240 yards and three touchdowns, as well as zero interceptions. He also ran it seven times for 15 yards. All right. Those are the numbers of note. Let's get defensive.
Getting Defensive with Matt Harris is brought to you by Exceptional Physical Therapy, specializing in sports injury rehabilitation, back pain, and balance retraining. Exceptional PT is breast cancer certified and is one of the only two lymphedema clinics in the state. Exceptional Physical Therapy for an exceptional you. 1102 South Street in Benton or on the web at exceptionalpt.com.
38 seconds. Auburn still has not snapped the ball. Now Burns gets the snap. Cody's going to try to throw deep down the middle of the field. It is intercepted at the 27-yard line. Intercepted by Matt Harris, and the Hogs are going to win this football game.
All right, Matt. It was a disappointing weekend.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm having a hard time getting too upset about it because I wasn't shocked by the outcome.
Not really. I wasn't too upset. I wasn't too let down. I caught myself in the middle of the game kind of taking a big, deep breath compared to the Rutgers game. I was actually more upset about the Rutgers game than I was the Florida game. In the middle of the Rutgers game, I was going, what are you doing? I can't believe I was yelling at the TV. And then I'm sitting there saying, you know, we're in the swamp. We kind of expected this. We had high hopes going in this game, ironically enough. And when I was watching it, you know, I had to, unfortunately, tip my hat to Florida because their defense after that first drive just figured us out. They had us, I mean, we couldn't do anything afterwards. But with that being said, what really, really upset me, and I hate to hang my hat on this, but that punt return flag before the half changed the whole game. And now I'm not saying we would have won the game because the second half we didn't do anything. But you could have imagined if we went up 14-10 going in halftime instead of 17-7. That's a big momentum change. And when you're going down in the swamp and you're an unranked team going against a lot better Florida Gators, you need that momentum. You need the confidence going in at halftime. And that really upset me. If that was the one thing that I really got upset about in the game was that punt call. Other than that, the pick six, the Florida defense was too good. They had us figured out all game. Brandon Allen had a struggle, but then his receivers kept dropping. I mean, take your pick. You know, we lost the game. The refs weren't to blame this year. But that punt return call really did chap me a little bit. It did, because that could have changed, you know, the momentum for the second half. But we didn't perform well enough to beat the Gators. So it's okay. It's a rebuilding year. We looked good on some things. We had a lot of drop balls. I mean, a lot of miscues. I mean, pick your poison. We lost the game.
What was the most positive thing you took away from the game?
The most positive thing, probably that first drive looked really good. I mean, ironically enough, you know, in the youth, the Alex Collins, the two freshman guards we have on the offensive line, those young guys getting good experience. You know, we didn't get blown out. We didn't win the game. We had a lot. I mean, the ironic positiveness that I can pull out is we lost 10-30 and we played terrible to a good Florida defense and maybe not a great Florida offense, but we played a terrible game and didn't get blown out.
Florida,
we have a decent team.
To me, Florida and LSU are the same team.
Very similar this year.
Florida is really good defensively,
mm-hmm.
great defensively. I don't think it's an
that's a reach
at all.
Outstanding.
They're marginal offensively.
Yeah.
But with Murphy at quarterback, by the end of the year, I think they're going to be a very formidable, complete team.
Yeah.
And actually, they're better than I thought they would be right now.
I thought they were.
I was not a big Florida fan going in. LSU, on the other hand, is abysmal defensively because they had a lot of guys replaced.
Mm-hmm.
They're very efficient and very impressive and dynamic offensively with Mettenberger playing the way he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the year, I think defensively, they'll have it figured out a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're similar in that way, although they're better on opposite sides of the ball.
Right now they are, for sure. And going into that game, we all kind of had a dark horse in the back of our minds thinking that we might be able to pull this one out. And Florida proved it wrong. They had a great defense. They had that number one rushing defense going into the game, and we tested it. That first drive gave us a lot of hope, but I think that's what kept a lot of viewers interested in the game. But you know,
you mean listeners who are listening on the bus?
Right,
good point.
Listeners,
yeah.
You know, watching,
if
listening.
You and listen. Game. Turn the sound on the TV
true.
Down,
yeah.
man.
You know, I will say this about my boy Chris Kane, who will be with me tomorrow. He made a prediction before the season, an interesting prediction, I thought. He predicted Arkansas would win only four games this year.
Mm-hmm.
He also predicted that Arkansas would beat Florida.
Huh.
Now, the Florida pick doesn't look so good, but I have to be honest, the four-win thing is starting to look more and more possible.
Yeah.
I still think, though, that you've got four toss-up games the rest of the way, including this week.
The South Carolina game, I think so, too. They don't have a just offense that's going to blow you out, and we have a good enough offensive scheme. What we got to find is consistency. We got to find confidence in ourselves and consistency that we can push the line and get 3-4 yards a run and that we can hold up defensively, because it's all a stats game. If you have a high-powered spread offense and they score within 30 seconds or they go 3-and-out within 30 seconds, you're doing nothing but increasing your chances to get scored on by putting your defense on the field more. This offense takes the defense off the field, so our defense is going to get better just because of that stat, just because we can run the ball. So if we can just develop some consistency in the run game, if Brandon Allen can have a little more accuracy, but he had a lot of drops. You can't put all the stats on Brandon Allen. He had a hard game.
One of the big complaints, and this is a fair argument, is that they ran the ball less than they threw the ball, almost by 2-1.
Yeah.
So 41 passes in a game that wasn't a 40-point line. A lot of people were concerned about that.
Yeah.
What did you see defensively that Florida did? Brandon Allen talked about how they had so many guys in the box. And,
and
again, it's so attractive.
Gosh.
But Chaney even talked about this a couple weeks ago. And this is what they're going to see the rest of the year. They're going to put 9 guys in the box, maybe 10 guys in the box at certain times. You got to be willing to. You got to be able to throw the ball, but I think you have to be willing to run the ball. What did you see defensively, and where do you think they needed to? Could they have run the ball more and been at all effective? Do you think?
No.
Okay.
You took the words out of my mouth. The way football is philosophy. If you put 8 or 9 guys in the box, they're saying throw it. I dare you. We're going 1-on-1 with our corners and our wideouts. If your wideouts think you're good enough to beat us, and you think your quarterback's accurate enough to put it in his pocket, then by all means do it. But if you think that you can run when we got Florida's number one rushing defense with 9 in the box, be my guest. They had out, their corners were extremely athletic. Their defense was figured us out by the midway of the first quarter. They stacked the box. They stopped the run with numbers, and they, just outperformed us on the edges there. We couldn't have done anything different. If you try to run on some situations where, why did we pass on that? Well, because they had 10 guys in the box, basically.
Okay, let me ask you this.
They were just stopping everything.
We can belabor this or we can do it this way. If Arkansas played 10 times in the Swamp this year, how many times did they win that game?
8. Win. Sorry. 2.
You think so? I think that's optimistic. I really do.
Yeah, I think maybe 1 or 2.
What I said earlier is if they play 20 times down there, I think they lose 21.
Yeah.
Do the math on that.
But see, I got hit in the head a lot. But that punt return really, that's that X factor that you can't put down in a stat book. Imagine before half, if you're in the Swamp and you're up 7 or 14 to 10.
What if you don't throw the pick 6?
Yeah, and see, that's, if.
Yeah.
Ifs and buts and nuts.
Candy nuts and if my aunt had a section of my uncle.
So,
I haven't heard that in a long time.
But that wasn't an error by Brandon Allen or a receiver. That was an error by a referee, by a huge mental mistake. There's no halo rule. We didn't make contact.
I was upset about that.
Okay, on the halftime show, Chuck was explaining, and he even went to SEC officials, and they said that on a bobbled punt, they still have to let him finish the catch on the bobble. So it was the right call.
It was ruled
right. They might not like the rule, but that was the rule.
Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous. So you're saying that
he can bobble it all day long as it doesn't touch the ground, the ball is not available to be
so you
pounced
can just
on.
Knock it up in the air,
yes.
Keep running forward, keep
yes.
bobbling it, keep running forward.
Theoretically, you might be right.
So you're saying that can be a loophole in the system.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like a receiver saying, hey, when there's a jump ball, you have to give him all rights to the ball, and if he tips it up, you have to allow himself to come down and catch it.
Now in the NFL, once you touch a punt, you better catch that thing. Otherwise, you're going to get some helmets in your face.
That's peewee.
I actually like the halo rule. I wish they put that back in. But I think if the ball is muffed at all, I think you should be able to smash the guy. I wish they would flip those back.
It's like saying on an onside kick, if the guy muffs it, oh, wait, we got to give him the opportunity. What?
No, it's different.
I mean,
Bielema didn't complain about it after the game, so I can't
make
a big
deal. Well, I didn't know that was the ridiculous wording of the rule,
yeah.
But dang.
If until the ball touches the ground, you can't touch the guy. You can't get involved in the play.
To me, that seems like a rule that should be overturned.
If
Absolutely.
He doesn't catch it cleanly, they should change it. I agree. I like the
right
halo
there.
Rule fine, though. I think give him 3 yards, and then that's gone.
Yeah, because I don't want
to
die.
Because, I mean, you can get close enough to smell a guy's breath.
Yeah.
As long as you don't touch him.
Yeah.
Now, which I don't necessarily like either. I don't think that's necessarily fair.
But as long as you don't touch him, I mean, they're just making sure that they don't just get walloped and crack some ribs out there,
yeah.
You know, because those guys used to get really close. So, but I didn't know that was the ruling of the punt. But you're right. I mean, if we went down there 10 times, we'd lose 10 or 9.5 of the
Scott and Hunt says, this is on the Keithley Service Company live fan feedback. When did Reggie Fish come back? What the heck happens to our special teams against Florida? Arkansas special teams, you have an issue?
Did we drop a punt?
You got a guy who's pretty good at blocking field goals, that's for sure.
Yeah, two guys.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought we had a pretty good
we need more.
We blocked a field goal. Did Hawker make a field goal?
Yeah.
More 6-10. They were up 10 because Arkansas was up 7 or 10 nothing at one point.
Yeah.
Arkansas needs, we need more 6-10 linemen.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a huge block for us.
Ron says, what about Arkansas only rushing 4 at a time? We're not putting any pressure on their QB. If their QB can sit back there forever, doesn't matter if our DBs are outstanding. Coverage will break down. Got to get more people in the backfield, Matt.
That's true, but we have two, you know, all SEC candidate defensive ends. We really, I think, depend on them to get pressure without. If you can get pressure with a defensive end without a blitz, that's, you know, heaven to a defensive coordinator. If you can just rush 4 and then sit everyone else back in the zone, sit the rest back, I mean, that's beautiful. And we have the potential to do that. But, yeah, you do got to mix it up and send 5.
Isn't Arkansas supposed to have a defense? Because there aren't a lot of defensive lines that can put pressure without some kind of stunt
right.
or bringing a safety or a linebacker or something.
Yeah.
But Arkansas is supposed to have a defensive line. They're supposed to be in the minority where you actually can do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's what he was referring
to. And there have been moments this year. Just didn't see a lot of it the other day.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a test. You know, you're going against the number 18 Florida team in the swamp. I mean,
Murphy was really good at buying himself time. Manziel has been spectacular buying himself time.
And we got a sack against Manziel. It felt great.
It did. But look, when you play a team like, you know, Rutgers, where you've got a relatively stationary quarterback, they beat the crap out of that dude.
Yeah.
And he still hung in there and completed a bunch of balls in the fourth quarter.
He did.
You need to hit him more.
You need to hit him more, right. Don't be too picky about that stuff.
Mike has a question. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, actually, I got two real quick. The one, it looked to me like that ball bounced out of his. He wasn't bobbling it, but it looked like it bounced out of his hand right into our player's hand. Would that not be an exception to the rule? I understand we can't do anything about it now, but it just seemed to me, like you guys were saying, ridiculous to let it go to that point. As long as it didn't touch the ground, you still have to have the ability, especially when it bounced that far out. The other question is, did you say the interception was not Brandon Allen's fault?
The pick six. You know, it's so
like
hard.
It looked right to him. I mean, you probably didn't see the guy, but if it wasn't his fault, I was going to see whose fault he thought it might be.
It was
my
fault.
Hitting the ball, but.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I don't remember. I remember it being a short play, much like Romo's interception last night. It looked like a safety kind of just sat and squatted on a route.
Well, at least the guy for the Broncos had a layout to make his pick.
I don't want to hear it. They rushed 3 against that Tony Romo guy with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They rushed 3. Not 4. Not 5. They rushed 3.
Not 1.
And he had a check down.
Not 2.
2 yards from the ball where he threw it.
People are more interested in talking about the Cowboys than the Hawks, so we're going to do that in just
a minute.
I'm
really upset. But I don't think Brandon Allen's interception was – you almost got to give it 50-50. Whenever I see an interception, except Tony Romo, I give it 50% receiver, 50%. If it's 2 minutes or less in the fourth quarter, I put it on Romo. But I usually give 50-50 to the receiver and then quarterback, then divvy it up. But
I think you'd blame fumbles by the running back on Romo, too.
Yeah.
Jerry, hang in there. We're going to get to you in just a second. I do want to talk about Clowney. And, Matt, if you could pull that clip up, I want to hear about talk about Clowney. Clowney is a difference maker. He is certainly not a Heisman candidate going into the season. I don't care what people said. I'm with Harry King on that.
Yeah.
I thought that was nonsense, and like I don't know that you have to get 10 sacks a game, like Harry said, for you to be in the Heisman hunt, but you would have to do a lot. You would have, yeah. I mean, look, you've only had a couple of defensive guys even in the conversation, and one defensive guy that's ever won it.
Yeah,
has anybody won it besides Woodson?
Old Charles.
I don't think so.
That hit against Michigan, if that didn't happen, he probably wouldn't have been mentioned into it.
Right.
You know,
that's the
thing.
And you replay a highlight over and over. And the guy is dominant. But, again,
yeah. I mean,
you can, you have the luxury at this level of double teaming guys all day long if you choose to.
Taking them out.
Now, when he gets to the NFL, he'd be a much more effective player. The question has now become, though, with Clowney, because there was talk that, hey, man, you might want to skip this season and do something. You might want to go, like, you know, work at a fast food joint or something, just stay healthy, work out.
You're going to be in the number one pick.
Because he'll freak him at the combine. Again, it's unfortunate and it's silly, but that is everything in the world.
Yep.
Is how did you do at the combine?
Yep.
How many times did you throw up 225?
Yep.
What was your 40? What's your vertical leap?
That's awful.
And it sucks.
I hate it.
Now, he's a great player in his own right, so he's good in both.
He'll do well, yeah.
But, again, some people would ask, is he doing all he can to help South Carolina win right now? Here's the story from Spurrier about how he found out that Clowney was not going to play. And admittedly, as he points out in the thing, in the clip, he did not practice on Thursday. But it sounds like there was a little miscommunication as to what was supposed to take place in the game against Kentucky, which, by the way, was a 7-point game. Mm. What was supposed to take place on Saturday? Here is Coach Spurrier talking about his star defensive end.
When did you know Jadavion wasn't going to play, and will he be available next week?
I don't want to get into all of that. I will just say he told me he couldn't play, that his ribs hurt, couldn't run, and said I can't play. I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to play, and we'll move on. And he may not be able to play next week. I don't know. But we're not going to worry about it. I can assure you that. If he wants to play, we'll welcome him to come play for the team if he wants to, but if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't have to play. Simple as that.
Okay.
Oh, right before the game. Right before the game. We were thinking he was going to suit up and play, but he did not practice Thursday. His ribs were bruised, and he said he couldn't run. He said he couldn't play. So anytime a player says he's hurt, can't play, who are we to question it? He doesn't play.
Here's what I don't know is, what happened on Friday? Was there not a conversation late in the evening on Friday as to, how you doing, buddy? How you feeling, big guy?
Yeah.
How them ribs?
He's got treatment, trust me.
Wouldn't you think that you'd have some clue by Friday night? Now, I understand he didn't practice Thursday, and I'm not questioning whether or not the kid felt okay to play Saturday. Now, what I'm saying is, how does that catch you by surprise on Saturday?
Well, see, the thing about it's messing my head up is usually those star players, what they do is they don't practice all week, and then they play in the game. I've never heard of anyone not practicing all week, and then right before the game saying, oh, I don't want to play.
My thing is, if I'm not furthering my risk of injury, I'm going to at least give it a go.
Yeah.
Right before the game would seem to me to be the absolute worst time to tell anybody
that,
hey, you know, that all that planning you've been doing with me right there
the
up on
plan.
That defensive line, yeah, forget about it.
I'm thinking if I'm feeling terrible Friday night, I'm picking up my cell phone. Yeah, coach.
Yeah.
This is Jadavion.
No.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too hot. I'm going to go ahead and not play tomorrow.
Just to give you a little heads up.
But I'll be there for the breakfast. Cool. No good. Yeah, I'll be happy to speak to the team.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not gonna play though.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night.
Coach is hilarious too. For someone who wasn't gonna get into it,
Coach
Spurrier really got into it.
Well,
the best. Prices.
I know how that stuff works. When you're on Friday night and you're in the hotel, whether it be home or away, you have treatment in the hotel. That guy was in treatment in the morning and at night, maybe at lunch, before lunch and after lunch. They knew his progress up until game time. I don't know why they didn't make the decision, or I don't know why he made the decision. First off, I never heard a player outside the NFL saying, I'm not going to play.
Let's get a quick couple calls here, and then we will take our time out. Mike?
On the secondary, we're rushing four. We got seven back in protection. Why do we have 7 to 10 yards cushion? It's ridiculous. These receivers are wide open.
That's a recurring complaint. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Too much cushion, Matt. What say you?
Well, sometimes you don't want to get beat deep. I don't go. I guess they were.
Sometimes I say all the time.
Well, I mean, you know, there's different situations with a quarterback like you know, a Peyton Manning or something. I could see why they press him off and have safety help over top. But I don't know. I don't know why they don't get up in their face sometimes. With a quarterback like Florida, I would have said, hey, corners, be a little aggressive this week. Make that guy put it in some tight windows.
Yeah, I would have done
so,
that.
So, I mean, I agree with the complaint. I think that Chris Ash does a pretty good job. You know, our defense overall, you know, you always want to get better. But this in this day and age, the philosophy of offenses are just so powerful that maybe it's he's a little reluctant to get that press up those corners. Because that's what you're talking about. You know, you press the corners, it changes the dynamic of the offense. But I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind seeing those corners get up in someone's face.
Let's shift gears here. Let's bring in Mike from Epic Health. Mike,
you just want to talk to me about the Cowboys.
I do.
Yeah, so I can cry.
Well, here's the thing. Matt's very upset. A lot of fans are very upset. Jerry's on the line here, and Jerry's upset, I assume, or at least he's got some solution for us. Jerry gave up. Okay.
Let me tell you what my biggest frustration here is that Romo has the game of Cowboy history, all right? Breaks the record for any Cowboy. That's Don Meredith, that's Roger Staubach, that's Troy Aikman, that's Danny White. Sets the single game record, 5 touchdowns. The entire game, all the announcers are talking about is, how do you stop Peyton Manning? How do you stop Peyton Manning? I'm like, has anyone paid attention that no one's stopping Romo? And he does all this stuff, and even on the morning show, you have Kurt Warner saying, you know what the Cowboys need to win? They need a bit of the old Romo back, because like in the previous game,
oh, we got it.
You saw him diving, you know, you saw him taking dives like when he's about to get sacked instead of doing the Romo shuffle and throwing the crazy ball. And he said, we need a touch of Tony Ono, but with the better decision making, you know, that he's starting to make. We need a blend. And through the whole first part of the game, we got better decision making with the scrambles, and then all anyone's going to talk about now that it's over is he can't finish. He's a crappy quarterback who has no clutch gene, and no one's going to pay attention to any of the goodness that he did in the beginning of the game.
But because, isn't that Tony Romo? That's a microcosm of his career.
It is, because it's a double edged sword, because without him the Cowboys kind of suck.
Well, that's what I saw somebody on Twitter, and I told this to a fan who was frustrated earlier. He said they're a 5-11 team without him.
Yeah.
Really? How many times have we made the playoff with him?
Hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, you can't win games when you put up 48 points and still lose. Okay?
We could have bought 2 Peyton Mannings with a $106 million contract for a guy who's taken us to the playoffs one freaking time, okay? That's what makes me mad. We paid this guy like he is Roger Staubach, like he is Troy Aikman. How many times has he won the Super Bowl?
They had defenses and offensive lines. I mean, we
Oh, really? I bet you Troy Aikman could come in there and take us to a third-round play. Roger Staubach, it doesn't matter. If you're Michael Jordan made his players great around him. Troy Aikman did the same thing. Roger Staubach did the same thing. There's guys from the old Cowboys in the 70s that were drafted with they weren't even offensive players. They were track guys. You know, just basketball players. And Roger Staubach makes them a Super Bowl champion winning team. If you're a true champion, like Peyton Manning, whatever team he's at, they're going to the Super Bowl.
He's a winner.
And Tony Romo.
That's the thing. Romo,
I hate to give him the MO, but dang.
He's not proven to be a winner. And let me tell you, I hate people that boo the home team. Okay,
it's
like I don't want to go home and have my wife say, you suck, and then do the dishes. You know, it's like that doesn't work for me.
Here's my deal. 2 things.
It makes me mad.
Going into the game yesterday, because I was talking to a friend of mine who's a passionate fan, and he gets frustrated by Romo, too, like most Cowboy fans do.
Yeah.
Going into the game yesterday, what did you think the Cowboys' chances were of beating?
Blown away. I thought we were gonna get blown away.
Okay,
Like playing Alabama.
Okay.
It was Arkansas, Alabama.
So here's my point, and I explained this to him this morning. This is the night you go out with your buddies, and you're there at the bar late, and you happen to sit down at a bar stool next to Scarlett Johansson, and she happened to have a few too many. Next thing you know, she's hitting on you, and you're thinking, there is no chance in hell I'm going to hook up with Scarlett Johansson. And then you go back to Scarlett's place, and just as you're about to close the deal, she says, nah, I don't think so. Go sleep on the couch. So the next day, you get with your buddies again, and the story is, dang it, I got shot down by Scarlett Johansson. I was this close. Not, holy crap, I had a chance to hook up with Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
So, again, let's get back to square one, which is, you didn't think you had a snowball's chance in Hades of winning the game. But because you did, now you're PO'd?
No, I know. I'm not PO'd. I'm hurt.
Here's the point. Bottom line is this.
I wish we would have got blown away than to lose like
that. That would be easier. Right. Here's the bottom line. Dallas is 28th in the league in total defense, and while that includes a game against the best offense in the league, it also includes a game against the worst team in the league that gave you six turnovers, and you still barely won.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that giant game was awful.
The other thing is they're 22nd in scoring defense. Horrible. 27.2 a game. They've got to clean up some defensive issues.
Last but not least,
here's the good news. Let me give you one big Cowboy hug on the way out the door. As a Green Bay fan, to my buddy over here, as a Cowboy Blue.
I hate you.
If you finish 8-8, you probably win that crappy division.
I don't know about that. We're in a three-way tie for first.
Yeah. That is a terrible, terrible division. If you go .500, you probably win. Oh, you might be able to go 7-9, as Phil pointed out. You might be able to go 7-9
and
win the division.
If the Giants win one game, they're back in it. Now that's pathetic.
Oh my gosh.
Come on.
I don't think they're going to win one game.
They may not.
I don't either. They look terrible.
And it doesn't hurt my feelings either.
Mike is here from Epic Health. Matt is here from Cowboyville, and he's very upset. We're going to talk to Clint Conk, who is the man of the hour. Come